In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus warns against calling a person a fool. And he gives a serious warning here, and he also is describing in this context one who would slander and one by, extension of his attitude, even murder his brother with malicious intent and hatred. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, the psalmist calls the one who is an atheist, the one that says there is no God, is a fool. And Jesus called the rich man in the parable in Luke chapter 12 a fool. And he used the same term, fool or foolish, to rebuke the men who were on the road to Emmaus because they didn't see the true meaning of the Old Testament scriptures concerning suffering. So, it's, when we think about the word fool, it's one thing to be considered a fool by somebody that may be disgruntled with you. And it's another thing to be considered a fool by God. So, I want to look this morning on what does a fool look like? I'm not going to flash any pictures up there, but, just sometimes when I'm preparing a lesson to get a PowerPoint background or something, I'll just Google search. It was hysterical when I Google searched the word fool, the pictures that came up. There's just a lot of people that are considered foolish by a lot of people. But when we think about what does a fool look like, what does God consider to be foolish, the Bible really does give us a picture of that. So there are several ways that you can define foolishness. And really, the opposite of wisdom is what you would consider a fool. You can learn a lot about being a fool from looking at wisdom. And the opposite of that, wisdom is more than knowledge or understanding. It's the ability to discern between right and wrong. We talked this morning about the life of Joseph, how he was one that his father considered to be wise or called him wise. And he was in the way that he handled himself. So he was one that could discern between right and wrong. And he put his knowledge in a practical, used his knowledge in a practical sense that was very beneficial in his life. But there are three Hebrew words that are translated fool in the Old Testament. And the first one is evil, and it is a word that means perverse or silly. And another word that's used in the Old Testament is kisel, and it means that something is stupid or something is silly. And also the word nabal similarly means wicked or stupid or a vile person. So these are three words that are that you find in the Old Testament that are translated fool. The word fool is most often found in the three books of the Old Testament that we call the wisdom literature, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. And Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9 says that fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. In the Bible, the fool is not somebody who's just ignorant or unwise in the ways of the world, but he's one that is morally foolish. He mocks at sin, and he ridicules the authority of God. In fact, in Psalm chapter 53 and verse 1, it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that those that are corrupt in their thinking and really do things that are an abomination, they're ones that are considered foolish because they're not really keeping God in their minds and in their hearts and not following after the ways of the Lord. So the fool, as we find defined in the Bible, is one who really doesn't have any concern about what it is that God thinks and doing things in a godly way. So being foolish, when it's biblically defined, it's something that's very serious. I know we sometimes may throw that word around kind of loosely today, but the fool, as long as he is a fool, is never going to be what God expects of him. He's on a course that's going to destroy himself spiritually. And unless he can transition from being a fool to being wise, then in for a life that is going to be one of destruction in the end. So, I want to talk about how to be a fool. And I know that we probably don't need a how-to lesson on that. But the Bible does provide a rather comprehensive picture of what one can do to prove himself to be a fool, especially in the wisdom literature. So Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 gives us a hint of what you would do to be a fool, and that is to trust in yourself alone. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." So a fool doesn't listen to what anybody else has to say. He trusts in himself alone. And you know, you may have said it about somebody else. It may have been said about you that, well, you can't tell him anything. I know my parents said that about me sometimes. You can't tell Randy anything because he is just like what Proverbs chapter 12 is saying here. He's trusting in his own eyes, trusting in his own way. But that is foolishness. And Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, that goes the same thought. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. So if we think that we are the authority on everything, and if we arrogantly see ourselves as the final authority on every issue, that is dangerous. The person that has the reputation for being a know-it-all, and worse than having the reputation is it actually being true, is that you think that you know everything, it's very dangerous. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says that the one who despises wisdom and instruction is a fool. Proverbs 18, verse 2, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." And we have been that way, or maybe we know people that are that way when you're having a conversation or trying to instruct. You get the idea that they're not listening. They're trying to think of what it is that they're going to say next. You know, they cannot wait to get into the conversation or for somebody to take a breath so that they can interject, you know, their wisdom instead of sitting back and listening to what somebody else may have to say. And when we are not good listeners, we show our arrogance. And the fool arrogantly sees himself in this role as the final authority on everything. And I know I talk a lot here. I mean, I get up and especially right now, I'm teaching class on Sunday morning, preaching twice on Sunday, and I feel like I'm talking too much. Everybody's probably tired of hearing me, but I'm not talking the words of my wisdom, I hope. I'm trying to express the wisdom that comes from God's Word. And just because I talk a lot does not mean that I'm holding up myself as an authority. I'm striving to hold up God's Word as the authority and to express that. But, you know, many people do not listen, and in many walks of their life, it's very harmful. In fact, in my other job, one of the worst things that you can do when you're in front of a customer is to talk all the time. Is you need to stop and you need to listen to them to see what it is that they need, and then maybe you can shape a solution or something to help them. But the people that are the worst salespeople are the ones that talk all the time. And they may feel like they have the gift of gab and that they can talk, but if they're not stopping and listening, they're not accomplishing anything. And the fool is one that doesn't stop and listen because he doesn't think he has anything to hear. He doesn't have anything to learn. That he is the only one that has anything significant to say. And that is simply foolish. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." Don't we do that sometimes? Because we don't listen and we don't learn. And as soon as we hear just a few sentences about a situation, we've already made up our minds about what needs to be done, who's in the wrong, who's in the right, and what should be done going forward. And we know everything about the situation. Well, no, if you didn't stop and listen, maybe there's something else that you need to hear because you didn't open your ears. The fool is the one who answers a matter before he hears it. It's folly and shame to him. So a fool will trust in themselves alone. A fool also does not listen to others. He disdains or he distrusts what other people have to say. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." It's often said that about young people that they need to hurry up and get out of the house and be a success while they still know everything. But, you know, that was something I could relate to growing up. My mother and father became much smarter when I left the house and got separated from them for a few years when I went off to college. It's amazing how much wise and full of information they were later on in life. They must have been studying a whole lot after I left. But the one that changed was not them. The one that changed was me, because I started to trust their advice. I started to see, you know, some of the things that they tried to teach me, I can see how that was wise. But the fool is one that does not listen to others. They have to make all the mistakes for themselves. And my dad used to tell me, Randy, you've got to learn from the mistakes of others because you don't have time to make all of them yourself. And that's true. And he was trying to get a point across that I needed to learn from what others had to say and the experiences that others had. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 9 says, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, or he will despise the wisdom of your words." And that's true. Sometimes you have to trick people into thinking that something was their idea. You have to slide it under so that they and give them suggestions so that they'll come up with the right solution themselves. Because if you tell it to them, they'll just reject it because it wasn't their idea. And if somehow you can trick them into thinking that they came up with it, it's the greatest thing ever. Well, that's what Proverbs is saying. If you speak in the hearing of a fool, he'll despise the wisdom of your words because he doesn't want to listen. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8 says, "The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall." And so this proverb, it really exposes the final end of the one who will not receive counsel from others. He's going to fall, and presumably what's being referenced here or insinuated is that he'll fall into sin. It also describes the fool as a prating fool, or this also is the word babbling in some translations. In Matthew Henry's commentary, he describes this as somebody that's full of lips, full of talk, and full of nonsense. The person that attempts to give advice to others while rejecting any advice themselves. That's what Proverbs is saying. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool, he's too busy talking to receive any advice. In fact, he may not be able to communicate at all with those who could advise him because he has not stopped talking long enough to listen. That is what Proverbs is saying. He's constantly babbling and not listening. So the one that wants to be a fool, trust in yourself alone, don't listen to others, and refuse correction. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." The person should love discipline. But, you know, when we are advised or when somebody, you know, wants to show us a better way, sometimes we react in a negative way. You know, when somebody comes up to us and they say, you're doing such a good job in this, this, and this, and you're thinking, okay, well there's a but coming. You know, they're about to tell me something negative, and, you know, we don't want to hear it because we know that we're going to get advice and we're not seeking advice. We would rather than just keep going on the track of all the things that you're doing good, period, the end. But the fool is the one that won't accept any of that, but the one that is wise, it says he loves knowledge. He loves discipline. And in fact, people that are very successful in business say that they learn much more from their competitors than they do from anybody else because their competitors expose their weaknesses. And it gives them something to work on. And can't we see the same thing in our lives spiritually? That if our weaknesses are exposed, if a brother or sister helps us to understand areas that where we can grow, that is a good thing and that's not a negative thing if we can respond positively to it and learn from it. The one who loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is a fool. Proverbs 17, verse 10, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Again, you see, the word rebuke here is not something that we like. None of us want to think about being rebuked. But the one who has understanding will learn from that and will improve. Wise people only have to be told, But fools are the ones that have to suffer the consequences. You know, the age-old illustration of your mother telling you not to put your hand on the stove because it's hot, it's going to burn you. And we don't believe it. We've got to touch it ourselves and watch the blister come up. And so next time we know, because we experienced it. Well, yeah, that's great. We learned something. Well, we could have learned something when we were told in the first place from the wisdom of somebody that's lived a lot of years before us that told us that stove is hot. But no, I'm so stubborn and foolish that I've got to try it myself. And you know, in the illustration of that, that's something that's easily recovered from. But people make some huge, huge mistakes in their lives because they are not wise enough to listen to the counsel of others. And it's not something that's going to heal up like a little blister on a finger. It may be something that gives you scars for life because you refused correction. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 29 says, "Judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the back of fools." The fool has no regard for the consequences of his actions. And he wants to learn from what we call the school of hard knocks. You look in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 3, it's an interesting proverb. Proverbs 26, verse 3, it says, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools." So this proverb, it describes the severe discipline it takes to motivate the fool to correct his behavior. Now, horses are wild generally. They're hard to train. Requires a whip sometimes. The idea here is that donkeys just need a bridle. They may just need the bit. A little easier to train. But what do the fools require? It says a rod for the back of fools. My dad used to tell people that he had to hit me over the head with a 2x4 to get my attention. And he never did that. If he did, I don't remember, and it did permanent damage. But that was his way of expressing that he is very stubborn. And that's what Proverbs is saying. The whip is going to tame the horse. The bridle is going to tame the donkey. But the fool has to be hit over the head or hit on the back with a rod. So these animals are better suited for being molded into something useful than the person that's foolish. And so, I'm not advocating that we start beating people with a rod to get them to act more wisely, but here what's being illustrated is the extreme stubbornness and rebellion that embodies the foolish person or characterizes the foolish person. That the fool really develops a stubborn spirit and resists real change. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 22 says, "Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him." Proverbs 26 is more graphic. It says, "Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly." And we use the expression a lot of times that is accredited to Albert Einstein, the definition of insanity. And you know, I've heard this repeated so many times that I'm really just almost don't even want to say it. But it has been repeated over and over. And the thing is, it's repeated it over and over because people don't heed it. That the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We've all heard it. We've all been in conference rooms where this is being told over and over to us. That there's not any hope if you will not change. If you keep doing the same thing that's unsuccessful and expecting success, it's not going to happen. But for the fool, there is little hope because the fool can always find fresh excuses for his behavior because he doesn't intend to change. The fool also is one that acts impulsively. Real lack of self-control. The fool acts impulsively, often simply following feelings without any real rational thinking. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." I had somebody tell me last week that they read an email that they had written that they were going to send, and then they decided that they ought to wait. before they did it because they were angry when they read it. And it turned out to be a very wise thing, I think, for this person not to have sent the email that he was going to because he started realizing some of the repercussions that might come from it. So it was a wise thing. But here, the wise writer says, the person that's slow to anger has great understanding. And how many times have we flown off the handle, made that phone call, sent that email when we really should have contemplated it a little bit longer and not said things that we did. And then there's repercussions and things that have to be apologized for, but damage is done. We see a fool mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 25. If you remember the character Nabal, he impulsively rejected David's appeal for help and he put himself and his servants in great danger. He's described as one that is fool. In fact, his name means that. And he was one that was said to be harsh in his dealings. And one of his own servants said, he is such a scoundrel that no one can speak to him. And what a great thing to have said about you, that you're such a scoundrel nobody can talk to you. That you're so unreasonable and so foolish that nobody can talk to you. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24, is another interesting passage. It says, wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. This is a situation where I think another translation has a good help in understanding this. It says, a discerning man keeps his wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. So a wise person is one that finds wisdom. They keep it close by. They have it ready at hand. But the fool is always looking everywhere else. They're trying to find it someplace else. He never seems to find the advice he's looking for. And he searches for answers in the most remote places while ignoring the good advice at his hand. We see this all the time in the Scriptures where a leader is looking for advice and the real advice is the prophet of God. But I don't want to listen to him because he always tells me bad things. People do that in business today. They bring in consultants to tell them something that they want them to tell them. And when the consultant starts focusing on other things, well, that's not what I brought you in for. I brought you in for this. I wanted you to tell me this, this, and this to give me ammunition for me to execute my plan. Well, you know, if you brought in a consultant, why don't you let him consult? But they bring in people to tell them something that they think that they already know. But the wise person is the one that finds wisdom, keeps it close at hand. But it says that the foolish man is fluttering about from one thing to another. In fact, one commentator says, this fool flutters about fantastically from one thing to another. He searches for answers and ignores good advice. This may be describing the person who never settles on any answers or any convictions. He acts on impulse. And we see that where people will follow the preacher, and wherever the preacher goes, whatever the preacher teaches, they'll follow that person. And we see teachers that are teaching things that are drastically different from what they taught years ago. And entire families and groups of people will follow after that person. But what happened to their belief? Well, they're being foolish in the way that they're looking at the truth. They're looking at a person instead of looking at God's Word. So that begs the question, how do you answer the fool? The book of Proverbs gives us counsel on how to react to foolish people. In Proverbs chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, wise writer says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. You notice something about that? It seems a little bit contradictory, doesn't it? First it tells us, do not answer a fool, and then it tells us to answer a fool. Well, which is it? Are we supposed to answer him, or we're not supposed to answer him? In fact, these two verses seem so contradictory to some people that they bring that up to question whether or not this is truly God's Word. But this is just wisdom that is expressed in a paradoxical way. Verse 4, it is foolish to answer a fool according to his folly. when you answer and you give credence to the foolish question, then don't answer. When answering demands that I participate in the fool's folly, then I shouldn't answer. One commentary says, a fool can ask for more than 10 wise men can answer. He who recognizes such questions as justifiable and thus sanctions them places himself on the equality with the fool and easily himself becomes one. Sometimes you can get caught in the quagmire of foolish questions, but need to move on. I believe that's exactly what's being expressed here. Don't get caught up in that. But there is a time, verse 5 says, that you need to answer a fool according to his folly. When he would receive a hearing and he's going to be able to have an impact on others and convert others to his foolishness, you need to respond to that and expose his unwisdom, if you want to say that, or his untruth to others, and not let him have an impact on others. I think we see that approach in Jesus, where sometimes he answered the fool and sometimes he didn't. Matthew chapter 26 says in verse 62, the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you hereafter that you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So we need to discern when is the proper time to answer a fool. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 49. Or Psalm 49, rather. There is no Psalm. Proverbs 49. How foolish of me to suggest you turn to a passage that doesn't exist. Psalm 49. Hear this, all people, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and the boast of their abundance and boast in the abundance of their riches. Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever and their dwelling places to all generations, so they called lands by their own names. Men in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. And so, the psalmist here is giving counsel that he wants everybody to hear. That's how it starts out. And in verse 3, he comes to speak words of wisdom. He says, my mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. So, this wisdom is coming not from him, it's coming from God. And when people have God as their source, you know, they can claim words of wisdom. Verse 5 says, why should I fear? The psalmist admonishes us against being fearful when evil is present. It makes it a real relevant psalm for us today because, you know, we are certainly perplexed by evil. We see the apparent success of those who are going against God and against His Word. But the psalmist says you shouldn't be intimidated about this, because this is not something that's new. This is something that's an ancient admonition. And Jesus often told his disciples not to be afraid. But the reasons that we should be fearless are, you know, pretty unique, because he wants us to see the way of the world and the things that may seem to be powerful and or intimidating, he says they're not really. It's all foolishness. If you read verses 6 through 13, it says, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them by any means can redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him.
For the redemption of their souls is costly. It shall cease forever that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever. Their dwelling places to all generation. They call their lands after their names. Nevertheless, man, though in his honor, does not remain. He is like the beast that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish and their prosperity who approve their saying. So notice the characteristics of the fools of the world here. They think that they're going to live forever. They think they can redeem themselves from what's happened to everybody else. Well, and what's going to happen to everybody? Everybody's going to die. And although he sees wise men die, he sees foolish men die, and that nobody takes anything with them, he's still continuing to think that my house is going to last forever. Men name buildings after me. They name their streets after me. And so my memory is going to live on after I die. And sometimes people do praise other men. But the wise man said there's not any difference. The ones that have the buildings and the streets named after them, they're going to die just like everybody else. That they are just like the beasts. They're going to die. And the foolish don't think about that. But verse 15 says that God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. And that's the beauty of this here. Is that the foolish don't see that. They're all wrapped up in the world and wrapped up in themselves. He says, you don't have anything to fear, no matter how bad off the world gets, that God's going to receive you. God will redeem my life from my grave. He's going to take me to himself. This is the one that is truly the wise man. He puts his trust in God. Paul tells the Ephesian brethren, Ephesians chapter 5, so don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So that describes the wise person. The wise person is the one who's taught by God. The wise person is the one that's taught by his counsel and abides by it. The wise person seeks to please God, knowing that God can redeem them from evil. In conclusion, I'd like to read Colossians chapter 1. And while we're reading that, I want you to think about what it says. And think about whether or not you are wise or foolish. And I believe that a lot of times we get wrapped up in the world and we behave in a foolish way. But we need to be considered by God to be wise, regardless of what others think about us. Be wise in the sight of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the wisdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So Paul here paints a picture of the one who is pleasing to God because he's walking in the ways of the Lord. And he doesn't have to be fearful. And he has been delivered from his sins. And he's walking in such a way that embodies the life of what a Christian should be. Let's walk wisely in this life because it certainly will be helpful to us in the next life. And whatever pains it took to be wise in this life, it will all be worth it when we can be at home in heaven for eternity. We can help you in any way to do that, to apply wisdom to your life by being obedient to God, by obeying His plan for us to be saved, by being buried in baptism. We invite you to do so while we stand and sing.